Turning your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is probably the most popular Thanksgiving text of all times. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem when he was met by 10 lepers on the outskirts of a village. It says they stood afar off and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Usually, when a preacher uses this passage, he'll focus on the one who returned to thank Jesus, beat up on the 9 guys that didn't, and then close his sermon by asking, "Are you one of the 9? Today, let's approach the story a little differently by slowing it down and stepping inside to get a better view of the story. These 10 men had the most dreaded disease of their day. The physical symptoms were horrible to even think about. And there was no medical solution to the illness. Leprosy is caused by a bacteria similar to tuberculosis, but with some terrible differences. It reprograms the body on a cellular level so that the body actually ends up attacking itself, causing pigment changes to the skin, sores that don't heal for months and months, leaving the body vulnerable to severe and sometimes fatal infections. The loss of sensation in the nerve endings and deterioration of muscle response. This disease can take 30 years to run its course, all the while doing absolutely grotesque damage to the body. And add to this the emotional pain. Lepers were cut off from people. At the first sign of the disease, a leper is immediately quarantined outside the city, removed from family, removed from community. Lepers were required by the law to announce their presence at a distance and warn those who approached that they were unclean. All human contact was severed except fellow lepers. Beth Moore mentions in her book, Jesus, the One and Only, that she had occasion to travel to a part of the world where a modern-day leper colony was located. She felt compelled to minister to those who were suffering so much. But Beth said she couldn't bring herself to go inside. She said she walked by the entrance 3 times trying to overcome the inner resistance that she was feeling. But she could not argue down the overpowering smell of decay. It was too much for her to handle. And so she left without going in and ministering to anybody. Can you see those 10 men all huddled together? You know, somehow they recognized Jesus as he came near. They had heard stories about him. his powerful healing? I mean, could it really be true? And so they shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And they heard back from the Lord something incredible. "Go show yourselves to the priests." You know, the local priest in that day, he was much more than the worship leader. He was also the local health inspector. That was part of his responsibility in that culture. If a person had an infectious disease and was healed, that person was required to report to the priest, who would inspect the body, and he would make the final call whether that person was healthy or not. If the priest gave him the all clear, then the person was free to re-enter society. But it was all in his hands. And notice that Jesus didn't say, "You are healed." Instead, he told them to behave as though they had already been cured. And what happened? Well, these guys, you know, looked down at their own bodies and each other, and guess what? Nothing had changed. The hands of the one man were still mangled. Another man was still missing three toes. They still had the splotchy skin of a leper. They were no better off than they had been a couple of minutes earlier before they saw Jesus. They were no better off. Nothing had changed. But you know what? They probably had heard enough about Jesus to know that he didn't just play some cruel games with people. And so they trusted Jesus' command. And they went off in search of the priests. You know, there's something that, at that point, there's something that we all need to hear about faith on this Thanksgiving weekend. Or this Thanksgiving week. If you wait until your problems are over to start walking in faith, you'll miss the power of God in your life. You'll miss the power of God right in the middle of your personal circumstances if you wait. If you wait until your problems are gone. If you say, "I'll do this when this happens," or "I'll do this if this happens," you'll miss the power of God in your circumstances. You see, you can't put conditions on God. You can't do it. You don't have the right to do it. And He doesn't respond to your conditions. You can't say, "Lord, as soon as there's enough money, I'll follow your instructions about giving." You can't pray, "Lord, if you'll take care of this issue, I'll start going to church again." We don't get to put conditions on God. Instead, we're called to trust Him before anything has changed in our lives. He asks, "Will you love me despite the disease or sickness that you're dealing with? Will you obey me despite the lack of ability or the lack of resources? Will you follow me now despite the feelings of depression? Will you trust me to do what I say even when you can't see the evidence of it?" Faith without works is dead, the writer says. So what is Jesus looking for? You know what? He's looking for what he found in Noah, who believed God's warning about flooding the earth, and he built a boat long before it ever rained on the earth. He's looking for what he found in Abraham, who believed God's promises and uprooted his family and followed God's lead to a land that he had never seen and knew nothing about. Will you trust God beyond what you can see? That's the question he has for you and me today. Will you trust God beyond what you can see? Well, anyway, back to our pitiful band of lepers. They just limped away, looking for the priests, in obedience to Christ's command. And the Bible reports that as they went, they were healed. Who noticed first? Well, we're not told that. It's not told us. But all at once, something different happened. Something was different. Something felt different. Can you hear one of them say, "Hey"? And as they all turned to see, they saw a hand that had reappeared, fully alive. A crutch was thrown aside as a leg was restored, whole and complete. Skin cleared up, and the hairs on the forearm turned from snow white to brown. I don't know just how it all happened, but I do know this, that it only took seconds before shouts of joy began. They can now go home. They can be with their families. They can look for work again. They can attend worship. And so they raced off. They all took off running. And then one of them, one of those healed men, stopped dead in his tracks as the others ran ahead. And he looked back. And he ran back. And he shouted praise to God. He fell at Jesus' feet. Well, let's use that moment of gratitude right there. That moment of gratitude to prepare ourselves to offer our own thanksgiving to God. And look at a few things that will help with gratitude. Just a few things, two or three things that will help with gratitude as we approach Thanksgiving. Number one, track your blessings to their source. Track your blessings to their source. Look at verses 17 and 18 again. It says, "So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" I mean, common decency tells us that thanks should be expected when grace has been shown. But Jesus' question reveals something really ugly down in our hearts. And that is the tendency in all of us to enjoy the gift without worshiping the giver. The tendency is there in each one of us. You know, one teacher asked her students to list what they thought were the 7 wonders of the world today. And the kids started raising their hands. Egypt's great pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, China's Great Wall. One little girl didn't lift her hand, and the teacher finally asked her directly why she hadn't offered any suggestions. And she replied, I can't make up my mind about which ones because there are so many. And the teacher asked her to say what she had so far. And so the little girl said, "I think the 7 wonders of the world are to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to feel, to laugh, and to love." You know, we have so much that blesses our lives on a constant basis for which we should be thankful. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 says, it's a Psalm of David. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." That from the depths of our soul, we should be giving praise and thanks to the Lord, recognizing that it's from Him that all the blessings that we enjoy come from. Somewhere on his way to a priest, this man who had been healed paused and counted his blessings. And then he returned to the blesser. Before he celebrated with anyone else, before he celebrated and let anybody else know what was going on, he returned to offer his heartfelt gratitude to the one who had been so good to him. Sometime this week, stop and deliberately consider the goodness of God. Don't rush ahead like those 9 lepers to enjoy the food and family. Forget where they came from. Don't miss the grace behind your blessings. Instead, look through them to a Heavenly Father whose pleasure it is to give to His children. So, track your blessings to their source. Secondly, let your praise match your blessings. Let your praise match your blessings. Look at verses 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You know, I mean, when that former leper returned, he was loud. The Greek words in that phrase, with a loud voice, are actually the words megas phone. It's the words, the Greek words where we get our English word megaphone. Megas phone. You know, you could hear this guy coming. You could hear him coming. You know, I mean, this was joy at the top of your lungs. This was, I don't care who hears or what they think. I don't care if I'm the only one doing it. I'm going to praise God. And I'm going to give Him praise. And give Him the glory. The principle is that the one who has been healed much praises much. Psalm 35, verses 27 and 28. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. Sometime this week, make an offering of thanksgiving and praise for all that God's been for you. For loving you enough to come to the cross. For the gift of saving faith. For forgiveness of sins. For a slate that's been wiped clean. For reconciliation with your Father. And so on and so on. And don't be ashamed and embarrassed about it. Let it be known that you're grateful for what God has done for you. So let your praise match your blessings. And then finally, focus your gratitude on saving faith. Look at verse 19. It says, and he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now, 2 words describe what happened to all 10 lepers. In verse 15, we find the word healed, which comes from a word that's used was used medically in Jesus' day to mean mended or cured. It just simply was healed. They were healed. Another medical term is in verse 17. It says cleansed. And this word adds a kind of a social dimensional mention to the healing. It meant that they were free from the stigma brought on by the leprosy. And so they were ceremonially clean. And they were cleansed. There's a third word that Jesus says only to that very thankful man that returned. In verse 19, it has the phrase, your faith has made you well. Made you well is a very different word from the other two. It's not a medical word, although it was used to describe the safe delivery of a baby. The word is sozo, which means saved or rescued from danger. The Greeks used it for people who had escaped dangerous situations. Sailors surviving a storm at sea were referred to as sozo. When Matthew began his gospel, he started with the Christmas story, and he said the angel told Joseph to name the Christ child Jesus, because that name meant that he would save, or sozo, people from their sins. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, where Paul says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved, or sozo. As that man fell on his face at Jesus' feet, Jesus saw another need in his heart. Gratitude is a part of worship, and worship is the essence of saving faith. And I remember that moment in my life when the Holy Spirit helped me to realize just what Jesus had done for me on the cross. I knew that I didn't deserve it. And I wanted to give my heart, my life, and my all to Jesus Christ. Do you know what I'm talking about? That former leper, he understood. When he met Jesus, he was gripped by two fatal conditions. One of the body with leprosy, and one of the soul with sin. And he was made well in a way that surpassed all expectations.